Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever wondered why it's happening again?
Welcome to Mindshifters Radio with your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife Jeannie. Michael and Jeannie share with you the wisdom of the ancient Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. They offer tools and support 5 days a week. They will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love, in Aramaic, Rachma. Michael is the author of Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. And now your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice.
To the brightness within you and the truth that is rooted within me.
Hi, and welcome to Mindshifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm your co-host, Jeannie Rice, and we welcome you to the show. Our call-in number is 646-200-4169. Press 1, and that puts you in queue to talk to us. Today, oh, I forgot to give the date. Today is Tuesday, April the 29th, 2014. And so press 1, and we'd love to hear from you. We do already have a caller, but first let's welcome Michael. Hi, Michael.
Thank you, dear heart. It's a delight to have this opportunity to share this space with everybody and to move in the direction of understanding the application of the ancient Aramaic technology of forgiveness. And, of course, when we're talking about forgiveness, we're not talking about how I let somebody else off the hook for what's happening inside of me, but rather how I remove what's happening inside of me if I don't like it. And, of course, the things that I really don't like are the things that are happening inside of me. Although I can pretend that it's the outside world that's causing me to feel what I feel. But there's no way around understanding that what I'm feeling is something that's going on inside of me. And if I don't like that feeling, then if I'm willing to look inside of myself and look at the dynamic that's going on inside of me, I have the opportunity to apply the tool of forgiveness, that is, the removal tool. Hostility and fear relative to our human existence is like a virus. And if I don't have the virus removal tool, I may forget what it's like to experience life as a true human being. And our definition of a human being is simple: hold a newborn. When I hold the newborn, I get the direct experience of the active presence of love, of what a human life is and what I'm designed to live as. And if my physiology is producing something other than that, based on whatever's going on in the world, my mind tells me that it's the world that's causing me to feel, as opposed to, the world has shown me something inside of me that is less than the truth about who I am. So now I have the opportunity to remove that which is disturbing to me. If you'd like to access that virus removal tool, you can go to our website, www.whyagain.org. And there's a nice big red bullseye right in the middle. Well, actually, it's a white bullseye with red rings around it in the middle of the page. If you click that bullseye, it will take you to a whole series of links, and each of the links will begin the unfolding of the forgiveness process. And as I recognize the turmoil, the disturbance, the upset that I feel is inside of me, then I can begin to remove that pain, that turmoil, or that upset. There's an interesting article that I had pointed out to me today from Psychology Today. And it's kind of an interesting look at the power of words. You know, we've spoken many times on the show about Yeshua's comment that the power of life and death is in our words. That's an insight that comes from 2,000 years ago. Let's come all the way forward 2,000 years and let's listen to what the experimental psychologists are telling us. The title of the article is The Most Dangerous Word in the World. And it starts out and says, if I were to put you into an MRI scanner, a huge donut-shaped magnet, and take a video of the neural changes happening in your brain, and flash the word no for less than 1 second, you'd see a sudden release of dozens of stress-producing hormones and neurotransmitters. These chemicals immediately interrupt the normal functioning of your brain, impairing logic, reason, language, processing, and communication. Now, one would say, see, the word no, that's the problem. But actually, the person who has that cascade of the release of these stress-producing hormones has them because of what's inside of them around that word. And when we recognize that, then we have the opportunity to start to apply forgiveness to remove those things that produce that cascade of chemicals that, as it says, quote, interrupt normal functioning of the brain, impairing logic, reason, language, processing, and communication. The article goes on to say, in fact, just seeing a list of negative words for a few seconds will make a highly anxious or depressed person feel worse. And the more you ruminate on them, the more you can actually damage key structures that regulate memory, feelings, and emotions. You'll disrupt your sleep, cancel the thought, your appetite, and your ability to experience long-term happiness and satisfaction. If you vocalize your negativity or even slightly frown when you say no, more stress chemicals will be released, not only in your brain, but in the listener's brain as well. Now, I would add a little addendum there. In the listener's brain, if the listener has those mind energies based in whatever the word happens to be. So the key becomes, how can I impact the internal response that I have in me to any given event in the world? The way to remove the disturbing, the painful, the negative responses within my mind to any given stimulus is to remove the responses to that stimulus, not to remove the stimulus. Now, that doesn't say hang out with every negative stimulus in the world. No, that's not the idea. But if a negative stimulus comes and I have a negative response, I have a problem. Does the world have a problem? Perhaps. Do I have a problem? Certainly, if I'm in a state of disturbance or upset. And so the idea of this work is to recognize that if I talk about something outside of me causing something to happen inside of me, then that by definition is denial, and what I deny, I dissociate from. In other words, that cascade of chemicals that comes in and interrupts all kinds of processes in my mind, I'm cut off from being able to change. 2,000 years ago, Yeshua had a technology with which to bypass or to crack open that dissociated state and to access those things directly and to be able to remove them. The removal of them is called forgiveness. The world taught us, no, leave that whole cascade of negative chemicals inside of you. There's nothing you can do about it. They're all caused by the person outside of you. Just forgive them. Just let them off the hook. And we offer that that's a Greek idea of pardoning. And we'll do nothing to put you back in touch with the root of those cascading chemicals that interrupt all kinds of capabilities and processes of the mind. And so one might go to the conclusion that, so the solution is just never think about it, never look at anything negative, and pretend that everything is wonderful and rosy and cheery and everything's so cool. It's just great. And then one lives in a world of premature positive thinking and is unable to accurately see and assess what's happening in the world around them. We offer that if you try to play the game of premature positive thinking, what happens is you build positive thinking on a negative foundation if there is that cascade of negative chemicals within you, which are nothing but reflections of qualities of mind energy held from the generations. And so if you try to build on top of a negative foundation, you can only go so far, and the structure, so to speak, falls over. It just crashes. So people will become positive thinkers, yay, rah, rah, boy, everything's so wonderful, when there are things going on in their lives that really do need to be addressed. They need to be addressed from a mind of connected love and a space of love, not from those cascading negative chemicals. And you can't do that until you're willing to face what's at the root of that cascade of negative chemicals and remove it. And again, that's called forgiveness. And that's what the forgiveness worksheet is about. If you go to the website, click that bullseye, there are several radio shows where we walk somebody through the whole forgiveness process. So around any given situation, having firsthand one's own negativity, one's own internal cascade of negative mind energy, which in fact is nothing more than the energetic influences of the world and of our genetics. Once one addresses those things and removes them, then a whole different possibility comes. And that is that we can stand in the space of complete connected love and assess a situation that perhaps needs our presence, our input, the ability to look through the eyes of love at something that perhaps in our world is less than loving, and by bringing that mind of love forward, begin to dissolve the energetic influences, not only within ourselves, but around us. And so that's what we're looking to do with our work, and as we do, we interrupt those internal dynamics that perhaps have been going on for 1,000 generations, and we get to remove those things that never belonged, the hostility, the fear, the grief, the rage, the pain, the trauma, and the drama. So if you want to take a look at that article, there's more information in it, but I thought it made an interesting starting point for our show today. And Jeannie tells us that we had somebody who was from New York who was on hold yesterday, and there wasn't time to get them in, and so we do have the time today. Jeannie?
Yes. So it's area code 347. You're on the air.
Hello.
347. Welcome to the show. Give us a name. Where are you calling from?
Hi, Dr. Michael. This is Ramona. I'm calling from Brooklyn, New York. Hi, Jeannie.
Hi, Ramona. Nice to hear your voice. How can we support you today?
Well, I just come to love listening to the show. I can't always participate by calling in because a lot of times there's a lot of background noise. And so, you know, some days I'm just listening, you know. So
right.
I was listening yesterday, and I just felt like you came across with so much spirit. I just felt that. I felt like everything you were saying went straight to my heart. Like you spoke so powerfully yesterday, and I think yesterday I came to a decision to support the show. I can support in many ways, but I know that I can at least support the show financially. Hello?
I'm here. We got you. Loud and clear.
And I don't know. I just came to that conclusion yesterday. I said, you've blessed my life, and I know that you've blessed, thousands of people who listen to the show. And at the very least, we can support in some kind of way. And because I'm loving, what you're doing, I love you, I love Jeannie, and the work, I couldn't understand. I don't know. I didn't understand what happened yesterday, but I'm like, that was a very spiritual moment for me. So I'm very thankful.
Well, I'm delighted to have the feedback and the input. You know, as we're talking about this idea of premature positive thinking, there are certainly things in our world, and, if you go back to yesterday, what's interesting is a passage mm-hmm. where it says, some people say that I think that I come to bring peace. He says, I don't come to bring peace, I come to bring a sword, which some would interpret as now we're going to war, but actually in Aramaic, what he spoke of Some people think I come to bring serenity, but in effect, I come to ask you to look at what's going on inside of you. You know, this guy's not an easy guy to follow, that you have to step out into the world and deal with what's happening there. There's a very specific directive that he gives in one of the Beatitudes, and that is, he says, you must love truth and look into your errors in thought and the errors of your society. If we're not willing to look there and bring a corrected and corrective mind and action to what's happening in the world, you know, I forget who it was and said, all it takes for evil to thrive is for good people to do nothing, to refuse to step up and speak up. And so it is time for us to speak up. And if I have my own negativity around any particular topic, then before I speak up, I want to handle that inside of me. And so you're right on track. I'm delighted that it resonated that for you and that you're moving in the direction of addressing things in your world. And certainly we appreciate the support. There's a lot that happens to keep this whole project moving. It's certainly much, much bigger than we are. And if you do want to donate to the show, you can certainly go to our website, which is www.whyagain.org. And there's a donate button there. That there are a few folks who actually have a recurring automatic donation that they put on the website, and that helps to keep things moving in all directions. And ultimately what we're looking to do is take it to every mind, heart, and being on the planet, and this is just one aspect of the work that we do to do that. So thank you.
Oh, thank you. I have other questions. Well, there are other things that I would like to share, but I want to give other people a chance to talk too.
Oh, go for it. If you've got a question, that's what we're here for. Yours may be the question that just resolves all kinds of things for all of us.
Oh, okay. Last week I had a very trying week emotionally, and probably one of the worst weeks I've had in a long, long time. And so a lot of things came up, and I had a lot of emotions, negative emotions that came up, and I was doing my worksheets, and they all were based on my perceptions of not being loved. All of this started between me and my boyfriend, and so, you know, All last week it started, and then it just kept spiraling. It got out of control, but over the weekend we were able, you know, back in love. And so, you know, I'm still concerned about all of those emotions I had last week, which were based in, I felt that he was undervaluing me and that He was not wanting to spend time with me. And so, you know, it was a bad week for me. It was a bad week. I asked a lot of questions. It was like a lot of back and forth, a lot of arguing. And I got lost because I kind of felt that wanting to communicate and have a great relationship is not a bad thing. I don't think that it's a bad thing. I was asking that he communicate with me more, and I'm not always able, you know, we both work, and so, you know, I think that sometimes instead of texting me, he should pick up the phone, and I interpret that in negative ways. To me, that's bad, you know, because I get the meaning of things get lost in text messages, and I don't always understand, or I don't always get across what it is I want to say. So,
well, it sounds to me like you had a really awesome week. I'm delighted for you. That's fabulous. And if you listen to, well, let's put a different spin on it. If you listen to what I read from Psychology Today, they put you in an MRI machine. They're taking pictures, and the word no flashes before your eyes. And this whole cascade of chemicals, which is nothing more than mind energy. You know, what we call a chemical is mind energy resonating. So what they see firing in the brain is this whole cascade of mind energy based in negativity. What to me makes your week fabulous is that which perhaps you've not been safe enough to look at in the relationship was stimulated. Maybe we can just mute the phone there for a minute. There's some noise coming through. And then unmute yourself when we come back. Or, Jeannie, maybe you can do that.
Okay.
When we ask you to come back on the line. So when these events occur, you know, we call that the opportunity to learn forgiveness, and it sounds like your relationship gave you many opportunities to learn forgiveness. What makes it great is you did the work, which means that that interaction with your boyfriend resonated some things that you haven't been wanting to deal with. Maybe their relationship dynamics from earlier relationships, maybe from childhood, maybe genetic dynamics. Those energetic patterns held in hiding are destructive to physiology. They're the things that cause the aging of tissue. So it sounds like you came to a space of safety where those things were able to come up, and you were able to begin to communicate about them, perhaps in a way you hadn't done before. And as you're doing your forgiveness work, what you're doing is you're removing, remember this, the definition of forgiveness, is to remove what never belonged. If your boyfriend texts you or doesn't text you or doesn't call you all day when your mind says he's supposed to call me 20 times a day, and you have a negative response, that negative response isn't about your boyfriend calling or not calling. It's about what's stored inside of you. As you recognize that and begin to forgive those responses, then he can call or not call, and you'll stay connected to your human life. And as you stay connected to your human life, and I recall an earlier show where when you met this gentleman, he was interested in doing his work as well and supporting you in doing this. So if you stay connected to love, instead of a negative flow of things, you didn't call me, you should have texted, you shouldn't have texted me, instead of those things, to be able to own, you know, when I got that text and I really didn't get it, I didn't understand it, I felt dissed, I felt like I wasn't important, I felt like I'm not good enough, and what I'm really wanting to do is to heal those kinds of thoughts in me, and I appreciate your support to deliver messages about how those responses inside of you are about him is a way to destroy relationship. I'm sure you've heard me say it on the show before. The three killer words for relationship: you made me. When you can own that you had a response, you're willing to be responsible for your response and ask for support in healing it, then you deepen and open a deeper space for relationship. And so the fact that you were able to pick up the worksheets, the fact that you had the awareness, to me, makes it an awesome week, because what you've done is you've just taken a load of baggage that I don't know how long you've carried it around with you, maybe for many, many, many generations. You unpack some of that garbage, which is not Dr. Feelgood. You know, this healing process is not Dr. Feelgood, because I have to look at, feel, and deal with what's there. But as I look at it, feel it, deal with it, what's there, and I do it from the context of love. You know, that step in the worksheet that says, I choose to connect to my newborn state, to connect to this active presence of love. When all these things are resonating inside of me, and I choose to really stop and deeply connect to the active presence of love, then I get to dissolve those things in me, which means I get to forgive and I get to get free of them. I'm going to be healthier, clearer, stronger, and I'm going to be able to communicate more responsibly within my relationships as I use the tool. So that's the basis on which I say congratulations. You had a great week.
Dr. Michael, can you hear me?
I'm here.
Thank you so much. You know, I just thank you, because I spent most of last week crying, to be honest. And I'm saying, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
One of the workshops we do is communication. Did you hear what I think I said? And in that workshop, and you can download the worksheet from the website, we go through a 7-step responsibility communication process. You might want to download that worksheet and use it, or maybe even order the DVD and go through that with your boyfriend. One of the things most people want to do is they want to problem solve. And so here's what the instruction will look like. Look, how about if you never text me again, just call me when you have something to say. That's problem solving. So I take care of the problem, and that way I can hide my internal negative responses. When instead of problem solving, I'm willing to go for healing, I'm willing to feel my negative responses, I'm willing to bring them forward in the presence of love, I'm willing to communicate responsibly about them and ask for supporting healing, then I get to move through the healing process. And then, if problem solving is appropriate, I can still problem solve. I can still say, and you know, what I realize these negative responses in me are all about me and my interpretation of myself and our relationship, and I'm willing to keep working through those things and forgiving. And in the meantime, you know, when you've got something to share, would you mind calling me? I can still make that request. But I want to make sure that I engage in the work I need to do as opposed to try to enforce my request so I don't need to do my work. And the willingness to do your work, to me, in that context last week, is what made it a great week for you. Any other thoughts?
Hello?
I'm here, Ramon. Go ahead.
Oh, I wanted to thank you so much. Thank you.
I'm absolutely delighted to be on the team, and, you know, one of the beautiful things about getting to do this work with so many people all over the globe is I get to engage with everybody's questions, and sometimes the questions are what open the space for me to hear the answer and to be able to provide it. So thank you for the question. It's awesome.
Well, I'm going to tell you, I am on cloud nine right now. I'm absolutely on cloud nine, and I feel so clear. I feel so clear because at one point, you know, I've been wondering about this whole situation and all of these emotions, and he's actually been very, very good about everything that has happened because, you know, I said some things, he said some things, and he's just right there. He's always right there. And he always says, you know, you got to look within. You got to look within yourself. And so he's so willing, Dr. Michael, to work with me, and I'm so grateful for that. I don't know what to say. I'm just happy.
That's
about
awesome.
That.
And you know, thinking about the article that I just read from Psychology Today and the power of words and the positive impact of words. When you do have something to process that's in that negative realm, that's one of the reasons we have the commitment. Do you have a copy of the commitment from the website?
Yeah, I do. I have a copy.
Cool. So make sure when you're processing some of those things coming up, like you shared, came up for you last week, that you then tie into and connect the wondrous, wonderful, positive things, and the commitment is a way to do that. You know, I promise to trust you enough to tell you the truth and be true to you and to treat you lovingly, gently, with respect. Say that often, 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 because actually that article, I didn't go through the whole thing, but reading, when you look down further and it talks about the positive effect of utilizing positive words. And so it takes a balance of I need to deal with and communicate about what's going on inside of me that I am hurting myself with, that I want to forgive, and I want to also tap into, gee, my relationship with you is more important than any issue. And these are just issues. So make sure you use that commitment regularly, and especially when things are up like that.
Well, you know, it's just curious that you you brought this article up and the information, because when you're in the heat of the moment, you know, you're challenged to come up with good words and make good statements. And I have that choice to do that. You know, I have a choice to do that, and I choose to do that. I desire that. That's what I want to occur, because it's only going to make things better. Thank you for sharing that article.
Yeah, and you might want to just Google it and read the whole article. There's more to it. And, you know, being able to tap into the way we use words is really key. And again, remember that it's not about premature positive thinking. It's about true and honest. I communicate about what's going on inside of me. I'm honest with myself. I'm honest with the people around me. And I know when and how to focus on. I promise to trust you enough to tell you the truth. Be true to you and treat you lovingly, gently, and with respect. To utilize the constructive words as well. So thank you for that call, and thank you for your input, and we much appreciate your support.
Thank you. I'm heading there now. All right, doctor. All right, thank you. Bye, Sydney.
Hey. All right. Well, we haven't said hello to Dr. Kim yet. There's Dr. Kim with us.
He is, and he's on. And Michelle is covering for me in the chat room. For some reason, my flash won't work on my computer, so she's in the chat room representing us. But, yes, Dr. Kim is on. And then, Michelle, you're on.
Okay. Dr. Kim, how do you be today, sir?
I'm doing beautifully. Happy to be here. Delightful to hear the intro and the positive response from yesterday's intro and talk. I've also received a note from someone who would like to have you know something about the response to yesterday's talk.
Yeah, great.
And so with your permission, I'll read this note.
Okay, I'm delighted to do that, but I'd sure love to hear it in the voice of the person who had the thought.
Well, if you want to wait for that and take a chance on whether or not that will happen, we can do that, or I can read you the note.
Go for it.
Dr. Rice, I've done quite a few worksheets on the fear that resonates inside me about the anger in others. I still have work to do. I know that and continue to do my work. My question for you is this. If I no longer resonate with anger from others, does that mean others no longer have anger? If others deny they have anger or call it by another name, does that mean it doesn't exist? When I hear you stressing your, quote, urgency, unquote, over what others should be doing, I do not hear the essence of love. When you say, quote, people need to get off their butts, unquote, I don't hear the essence of love. I hear frustration. I can imagine how frustrating it could be to have all this useful information for all this time and still believe people are not listening. I want to suggest another possibility. People are listening. Many of us are listening. We hear you. We are tuned into your show not only to get you to tell us how it works, but mostly because we want to see it in action. We want to see how it looks when we live on, quote, the right side of the board, unquote. My suggestion is that you look at your success, because you have a lot of success. Your message being carried forth, not just by you, but by your wonderful wife, Dr. Hayes, Michelle, Rex, Dale Allen Hoffman, and the, quote, crazy Indian, unquote, ha-ha, from yesterday's show, a reference to Brad in Colorado, and others you are not even aware of. You don't have to deliver the message single-handedly. Even Jesus had disciples. The ripples are moving through the world. You have reached a lot of people, and your goal of getting the message to everyone on the planet is not out of reach. Maybe if you believe this, you will notice a shift. This is a shift that may appear to be happening outside of you, but as you well know, it's all an inside job. You are a success, and people are hearing you. Notice that. Be aware and know that all is in order. move out of your urgency, which is just another word for fear. Let go of your frustration. I know you know how. And in doing so, you can demonstrate what we all long to see, human life as it's meant to be.
Well, my input would be, the first thing would be to invite whoever wrote that in this, you to present it to me, to present it themselves, to call into the show with what's going on for them. That would be my first request. And I'm quite aware of the successes. Actually, we've got people in the Middle East teaching it. You know, the book's been translated into Farsi. We've got people in Germany, people in Russia. We've got people in the Spanish community throughout the world. Yes, it is moving powerfully. I'm quite aware of that. And we need more people to do more. My invitation, if one isn't getting up off of their butt, is to get up off of your butt and take it to the next level in whatever way it fits, if it fits for you, to do it. So my invitation is to those who aren't, because there are lots of people who could be, who, for whatever reason, because they're not motivated or inspired, like, for instance, our last caller was inspired by that, to do an action. And that's what I'm looking to do, is to bring people into action. My urgency, I will offer, I'm very clear, comes from my desire to motivate. It doesn't come from my fear. I'd invite the writer of that note to look at what fear perhaps was inspired in them, and maybe a few worksheets around that would be awesome. So I'm delighted to have the input, and I sure would love, and I suspect the reason why the person who asked you to deliver the message didn't deliver it themselves, perhaps it's because there's fear that they'd have to confront to speak on the show or to speak to me, because maybe I represent something to them that they're not yet willing to deal with. I had a conversation actually with Rex yesterday, and he was sharing with me that, well, you know, some people won't speak up to me because I'll just turn it around to them. And actually, that's one of my most wonderful skills, is my ability to turn it around for people and to reflect back honestly when there's hostility or fear for someone, to look inside at the cascade of things happening inside themselves so that they can be about removing them. And in the same breath, being responsible for whatever's happening in that regard within myself and moving through it. So I would love, I think that was very nicely written, I would love the person who wrote it call into the show and read it to us again, or read it to me, and have a conversation with me personally. And if that person's listening now, I'd ask them to look at what's happening with their breath as I make that request, and let's move forward. I think it's cool. It's right on track. That's what we're here to do. It's perfect. Any thoughts?
Just that it's, I understand your position. I also understand her position. I think that one of the things that drew me to my first real deep spiritual teaching out of all of the other things that I'd looked at was readings of Krishnamurti. And the thing that drew me to Krishnamurti was that when he made an observation about thought being of a certain nature, and that any abstract idea being this being something that's dead and lost, and if you're not observing in the moment, if you're living from the past, then you're locked in the cycle that will bring you to pain and fear. He applied that universally to everything all the time. And that was one of the things that drew me to him. It was this inexorable march toward blowing away all belief systems and moving into direct observation. And I think it's one of the things that lit a fire in me of recognition when I was introduced to your work, 10 or however, 12 or whatever number of years ago it is now, that it just felt like coming home when I listened to your four-hour audio on Why Is This Happening to Me Again. It was what I'd been trying to teach people for 25 years in therapy. It was so in line with Krishnamurti's teachings because it was relentless. If I'm feeling fear, it's in me. If I'm feeling anger, I'm creating it or it's been resonated in me, and I'm the only one who has access to it. No matter what changes outside of me, all that will do is help me ignore or hide from myself the fearful or angry energies that were resonated in me. And I think what you just said is in line with that. I think that we are all, when we take a position, we make ourselves potential lightning rods for resonating the opposite of that and whoever hears that position. Now, my personal calling at this time, my personal focus in my work is more just to focus on me and not be running my own radio show or having a call like yesterday that where you were putting the call out for people to really take action and get motivated. My personal, what's resonating for me over the past few years has been just keep doing my own work, just finding a way to be more in each moment, more loving, more accepting, more aware of whatever gets resonated in me, and sooner and sooner and sooner turn to apply the tools to me, which puts me in a different mode, and some people have a very different experience of me and the energy around when I'm talking or giving a presentation than someone like Dale Allen Hoffman or Michael Rice. And yet I don't think there's any conflict in the message. But it's a different style, and so as a different style, it'll appear as a different energy, and as a different energy, it'll resonate different things for different people. So that would be my input.
Yes, and to me, the call to action, the invitation for each person to go into action is for each person to do their own unique way of bringing it forward in the world. It always amazes me, you know. I'll have somebody who will drag somebody to a Why Is This Happening to Me Again workshop, kicking and screaming, but they sit there, you know, fuming with their arms folded. And it always amazes me when somebody sits in front of that material, what the genius inside of them does with it. And watching someone who's been dragged, kicking and screaming, watching their arms unfold, their legs unfold, watching them breathe, watching their eyes sparkle, watching what they do with it, and then how they make their unique contribution. And my invitation, when I become impassioned in asking people, in my words, to get off their butts, is to inspire that action, which is going to be different for every person. You know, when we do teacher training, I actually resisted ever doing teacher training with this work for several years. And finally, there was actually a chiropractor who lived in South Florida who said, Michael, you know, I've been doing support groups, and I want to teach this work, and I want to take it forward, but I feel like I need another level of training. And so I actually created the teacher's training out of his request. It was interesting. He never did come to the teacher training, but he's the guy that inspired it. And when we do teacher training, as opposed to it being about you have to learn these words and say these things, it's about inviting people into their own process, and as their own genius engages their own process, they bring it forward in such unique ways. Things that I have never thought of. I mean, I've learned from teacher training. There are examples that I use in the workshop that other people brought forward in their own originality. Actually, one year about 5 years ago, we had about 30 people at teacher training. And the class in teacher training puts on a Why Is This Happening to Me Again workshop. And it was such an awesome experience we almost signed everybody up to come on the road and do it. We had people who did rap songs. We had people who danced. We had people, I mean, there was every kind of originality. And so my call is for each person in their own original way to take these tools and to take them to their world. And it might mean, you know, for one person sitting down and just doing a worksheet with someone. For another person, it might look like calling into the show and speaking up. For another person, as with our caller earlier, I'm going to financially support the show. That's the call to action that I'm talking about. Whatever each individual's genius wants to do with it, let's do it, because the world is screaming for it. The silent scream, the pain, the turmoil, the trauma that goes on in the world is so monumental that I believe there is, and excuse me, for me, you know, if you were saying these words, the person who wrote the letter, if you were saying these words, it might mean fear to have that urgency in your voice. For me, it comes from a direct observation, and that's a good term that Krishnamurti used, Tim, the direct observation of what's happening. And if you jump online and you do some research, the statistics say that our world is becoming less peaceful by the moment. I think individuals are making shifts. And my invitation is for each individual who's making those shifts to expand them further within their sphere of influence and do what it takes. And I appreciate the fact that Brad was inspired, and Brad said, I'm taking it to my combat vet buddies. How awesome and powerful is that? And his first foray into that realm was just fabulous. And then when he spoke up in an inspiring way, then we heard Michelle speak up. And I've got a situation with some combat vets where I'm going to do more. I'm going to play bigger. And that's my invitation and my urgency, because at this time, we need, if you directly observe what's actually going on in the world in terms of the balance between hostility and fear and love. Love is not yet winning. And I invite the genius of each person who listens to think about, what can I drop in my life that consumes my time, intelligence, money, and energy, and invest that in something meaningful to tip the balance to where truly the active presence of love is becoming so powerful that we do tip the scales to where that becomes the predominant resonant energy in the world. And I believe it is urgent for us to do that. Absolutely urgent. And invite you each to think about, what can I do? What could I take of my resources? It might be 5 minutes of my time. It might be $5 of my money. It might be my ability to write a blog. It might be my ability to sit with somebody else and do a worksheet. It might be, gee, here I am out in the boonies. There's nobody within 100 miles of me that thinks like this. It might be that I start a support group. What can I do? What can I take of my resources? You know, for Jeannie and I, 100% of our resources are dedicated to, how do we get this to every mind, heart, and being on the planet? My urgency is, my invitation is, what can you do? Who are you? What are your skills? What's the genius in you say you could be doing? And, yeah, you might let go of some comfort. You might not go to that extra movie because you're going to have Tuesday nights as a support group instead of, you know, going to the movies every Tuesday. What kind of contribution can you make to tipping the balance? I want a place. I want to create a world. You know, one of the things that motivates me is almost 34 years in September, I got to catch my son as he delivered into the world. And I looked around at the state of the world and said, if somebody doesn't do something, there isn't going to be a place for my kids and their kids and their kids to grow up. What you're hearing in this radio show and the body of work that is developed, has been developed, came out of that moment. And I'm inviting everyone to have one of those moments right now. What can you do? What can you take of your time, intelligence, money, and energy and dedicate to carrying this to this world, to the world. And it might be, as Dr. Tim says, I'm making a new level of commitment to go inside of me and clean me up. And then, Dr. Tim, I really appreciate the way, as you share the cleanup job you're doing inside yourself and how courageously you share that, how you share that in your support group. And when we're not available to do the show, how willing you are to jump in and create that support is monumental. And your unique way of doing it is appreciated by a lot of people because you make a huge contribution. Thank you.
You're entirely welcome and deserving. There's something in the chat room. Maybe Michelle can give you a brief catch-up.
Cool. Check it out.
There's a woman who's talking about having PTSD and wondering what to do, and I was recommending she hook up with someone in her area for direct support and then apply the tools from your website. And you know, she's talking about having a lot of physical shaking and teeth chattering. And I know for most of us it's all of the above. And maybe Michelle is there and can...
I am here. I needed a little more time to respond. Basically, there was something that went on with her husband and her son, and she actually said, it's eating me alive, and how can I move on? I feel like I'm about to be hit by a car constantly. You know how your stomach feels, like it's full of butterflies?
Yeah.
So, you know, this is, like Tim said, causing a lot of health consideration, and I get a sense of helplessness because she says nobody knows what to do with me.
Well, we know what to do for you. We know how to support you. We can't change it for you, and unfortunately, I believe about 99.9% of the planet is living in clinical PTSD. I think that's the state of the world. And if you listen to just the beginning of that article that I read from Psychology Today, when that negative word or that event, whatever the event was that happened with your husband and your son, occurred, it resonates inside of you those things that create the dysfunctional chemistry that produces all of the effects that you're experiencing. My invitation to you would be to go to the website, download the worksheet, listen to a couple of the radio shows where we walk somebody through the forgiveness worksheet. This is precisely what Yeshua designed this worksheet for, was to empower people in their own space to go inside themselves and remove the negative cascade of chemistry, which is really mind energy that is impacting their physiology and their psychology. So I would invite you to go to the website, start to put the pen to the paper with that worksheet. Just start with the smallest aspect of what's going on in your world. Don't start with the big event that happened between your husband and your son. That's going to be too big a thing to take on at first. My input would be that you take it and you start with, you know, look into some area of your life where when you think about it, you feel a minor irritation or a minor upset. Start with the worksheet. Fill the worksheet in really honestly, truly, and begin to forgive, that is, remove that minor irritation or that minor upset. As you practice with the worksheet, and my invitation to you would be that you make a commitment to begin to do 5 of those a day and do that for a minimum of the next 40 days. What it will assist you to do is it will assist you to let go of the focus on the external world, which is what the mind wants to do. My son and my husband had an event, and that really caused me a lot of pain and disturbance. My input would be that didn't cause you a lot of pain and disturbance, but rather it showed you some pain and disturbance that is inside of you that's creating a lot of physiological effects. You're not going to change all of those effects overnight. And when you come against the more difficult parts of your own mind that need to be healed, that are creating these internal physiological responses, that event or that aspect of it may be the thing where you'll end up doing 20, 30, 50 worksheets to empty yourself of that. And that's what the forgiveness process is about, is emptying yourself of those things that never belonged. And a really powerful piece in the process can be, especially when you do step 3 in the worksheet, is to really stop. And I'd invite you to remember the first time you held your newborn son. And as you think of the first time you looked into his face and you held him, tap into the awesome presence of love that he is. And stay with the experience. Let that be the event that resonates a whole cascade of chemicals, mind energy within your structure, that will tend to flood you with a constructive energy that will begin the dissolution of the negative. So really make a practice of holding him, looking in his face, being in that space of love, and letting that energy that is resonated in you from that experience become a major focus in your world. When I say major, I mean you spend time 2, 3, 4, 5 times a day centered in that as you breathe and allow those other energies that are based in hostility and forward. And they will dissolve. They will dissolve from your physiology. It won't be an instant overnight success. It won't happen yesterday. But if you systematically and persistently apply what I'm inviting you to do, you will change that response within yourself. You will get rid of it. And in a few weeks, you'll be calling us and saying, my God, I can't imagine. I live in such a different world. So that's our support for you. We hold the space. Our time is up, and I'd be delighted. You know, if you want to call in tomorrow, I'd love to have a conversation with you and see if we can offer more specific support. In the meantime, everybody, give the best thing you can possibly give to the world. Have the best year yet of your eternal life. Blessings. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie, who present the internal Aramaic process of forgiveness. Michael and Jeannie are here every Monday through Friday on Earth Angels Radio. For more on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. That's www.whyagain.com.